Welcome to Global Talk, an international affairs podcast from The National. I'm Justin Vella. This podcast was recorded on August 5th. On the line is Alex Christie Miller, an Istanbul-based journalist. On August 10th, Turkey will hold a presidential election. It's the first time the Turkish citizens will elect their president in a direct vote. There are three candidates, and Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan is expected to win. Alex, is Erdogan's victory a foregone conclusion, or could we be in for some kind of surprise?
There's really no one is seriously suggesting that there's going to be any other outcome than he's going to win. The opposition have fielded a very kind of weak candidate who no one really even knew before the elections, and has run a very kind of passive campaign. Erdogan retains massive popular support, and really the only discussion is whether he'll win in the first round on August 10th or in a runoff second round. But it's looking like he'll probably win in the first round, yeah.
And in what kind of situation could there need to be a second round of voting?
It is just about possible that the two opposition candidates between them, Ekmeleddin İhsanoğlu, who represents the two largest opposition parties, and Selahattin Demirtaş, who represents the sort of Kurdish nationalist party, you know, they might get over 50% of the vote between them, in which case Erdogan will have to go for a runoff against İhsanoğlu.
Erdogan has also been doing a lot of outreach to the Kurdish population. Wouldn't they want to vote for him?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Kurds do vote for Erdogan. The AKP has strong support down in the southeast. I think that one of the interesting things, one of the few interesting things about this campaign, because it really has been an Erdogan show, has been that Selahattin Demirtaş, the HDP, which is the sort of Kurdish party candidate, has run a very, very positive campaign and a very sort of, you know, quite sort of a good campaign, I think. He's even been praised by the MHP, who are the hardcore Turkish nationalist right-wing party. One guy from their party said that he had succeeded in making the HDP a party for the whole country rather than a party just for Kurds. So I think that you could see Demirtaş eating into the Kurdish vote that might have gone to Erdogan. But Erdogan will be banking on a strong Kurdish vote going to him in order to get a first round victory, or to get a second round victory if Demirtaş, who will certainly be the third candidate, gets knocked out in the first round.
Currently, the presidency in Turkey is generally considered to be a ceremonial position. How can Erdogan still use it to rule Turkey?
Yeah, there's a lot of debate about this. Basically, if you listen to what people in the AKP have been saying, there was one minister the other day said that from now on, the role of prime minister will be just a director of the cabinet. It won't be an executive role. So it seems like people within his own party are willing to almost kind of roll over and put a kind of placeholder prime minister so that Erdogan can effectively continue to exercise executive power, which would of course be absolutely against the constitution because, in Turkey's constitution, the role of president is not an executive post. So it's an open question now. We really don't know whether he's going to carry on exercising power in much the way he has, or whether he's going to run into problems. He could run into problems. Actually, one thing which is important to mention, one problem that he could have, is that as president, you're supposed to be above politics and you have to quit political parties. And Turkey has general elections coming up next year, which are far more important, arguably, than these presidential elections. And Erdogan won't be able to go on the campaign trail for the AKP in the way he has in the past, because it'll be against the constitution.
Over his decade in power, Erdogan has consolidated power for himself in a way that some people say is similar to Russia's Vladimir Putin. How has he achieved this?
Well, the AKP have pursued a strategy, I think, since 2007, when they were under fierce attack over making Gül president. They've pursued a strategy of trying to buy up media assets or getting their allies to buy up media assets as and when they come available, or in some instances pushing companies into debt so that they can then be, so the state can then step in and buy them and then sell them off again to someone who the AKP knows will run them in a favorable way. So you've seen this kind of opportunistic process over the past kind of six or seven years, I guess, where the AKP has slowly been buying up critical media and telecoms assets in order to boost its, you know, its dominance of Turkey's public life, essentially.
So in effect, there has become a single political voice in Turkey.
It's still, I mean, it is more complicated in that if you look at print media, you still have a majority of newspapers are anti-Erdogan, particularly since the Gulenists, the Fethullah Gulen movement, who have a big media empire, peeled away from the government and are now virulently opposed to it. And so if you're reading newspapers, the odds are that you could pick up a newspaper that's anti-government. But he's more and more dominant and it's more and more focused on the AKP. And if that's really borne out in this election, I mean, there were two quite interesting incidents. One where he was on TV playing football, playing part of an exhibition match, and he came on for 12 minutes and scored a hat trick immediately, and sort of, you know, amazingly kind of breathless coverage by the TV commentators, and it was like something out of Central Asia or Russia. And then the other day he had a big rally in Istanbul and an old woman fainted and she was brought to the front of the stage and he touched her head and she awoke, and it was like, you know, it was like sort of TV televangelist or something. It's really becoming the Erdogan show in a sort of slightly farcical way.
You mentioned the Gulen movement. They are a group that we heard a lot about during Turkey's local elections earlier this year. Who are they and what role are they playing in the current election process?
Well, the Gulen movement are an Islamic organization, which is slightly, I mean, people often liken them to the Masons or something. They're slightly mysterious. They've over the past sort of two decades, they've built up a very, very big influence within the Turkish state, kind of secretly at first, because obviously, you know, in the past, the secularists would have tried to keep them out. And they were really the main allies of the AKP in the AKP in Erdogan's early years. They're widely believed to have run the mass trials that brought down the military in sort of 2009 to 2000, like last year those trials ended, and last year they erupted into sort of spectacular battle with the government, and they're sort of believed to have been the people who were behind the corruption investigations brought against the government. You know, they were steering those investigations. Now Erdogan is going after them, with no holds barred. There were sort of last week or the week before last, there were 67 suspected Gulenist police officers were arrested, senior police officers who were involved in those corruption investigations. This election, they've been pretty quiet. I mean, there hasn't been all that much about them. Actually, just yesterday, there was a leaked recording of Erdogan's son supposedly ordering the education minister or urging the education minister to make single-sex high schools. This kind of has the air of possibly of a Gulenist, recording, because they've done a lot of this.
Has Erdogan pretty much cowed the Gulen movement into submission?
I think it seems that way. I'm not sure if I'd say they're in submission. I think they're fully beaten. But he's still going after them. So they're obviously trying to protect themselves. They've been very quiet, and it's, you know, at the moment it looks like he's comprehensively won that fight.
That was Alex Christie Miller in Istanbul. For more coverage of Turkey and the region, visit thenational.ae.